Today's shir, every shir throughout Chodesh Cheshvan, is being sponsored by Morty and Lorraine Sohn, L'zecher Nishmas, Mrs. Sohn's father, Mr. Harold Levine, Olav HaShalom, Rabbi Cheskel ben Rabbi Yaakov Chanoch HaLevi, Olav HaShalom, and Mr. Sohn's father, Dr. Harry Sohn, Olav HaShalom, Rav Tzvi ben Rabbi Lazar, Olav HaShalom. We are coming toward the end of the second parak here in Masech HaSukkah, by just looking through the sugyas that are coming up and what we need to do before we begin the third parak. I would say that the way to map it out is as follows. We need to discuss ketanim, that's today. We're going to discuss ketanim in sukkah and what the chiyuv is for a katan in sukkah and whether a person is allowed to give food to a katan outside of the sukkah. We're going to spend a lot of time on today. What in the world Beis Shammai was thinking when they required that the little baby, the newborn baby, has to already sit in Shammai Azake, not Beis Shammai. They required the little baby has to sit in sukkah. The couple of other issues that should be discussed also, not today, but probably at the beginning of next week, is chinuch in general. Which maybe that will be our Sunday halachashir, just the mitzvah of chinuch in general, how it relates to other mitzvahs. Maybe we'll delve into that a little bit more. But more nogeya to this daf, the idea of Tosefes Inoy and Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yantiv in general, which Rav Shechter spent a whole 2 hour shir on when we learned Masechah Sukkah, because it's a topic that's kedai to learn, and there's a good excuse to learn it over here, because the Gemara mentions it. And also, Nashim in mitzvos, and specifically Nashim in the mitzvah of sukkah, and how we balance the fact that there's a chiyuv of Nashim in sukkah with teshuv kentaduru. And that will be another shir, and then we'll be ready to move on. Beyond that, there's rain we already discussed, rain and mitzvah, so some more agadita, and then we'll be able to move on. We'll be ready for the third parak, where the real lumdus of the Masechta is located. So today, again, as I said, let's discuss ketanim. The Mishnah Chav Chesam Aleph tells us which ketanim are chayiv in sukkah, which ketanim are not chayiv in sukkah. The Mishnah, toward the end of the Mishnah, says, Nashim avadim ketanim, p'turim min ha-sukkah. Ketanim are, in fact, patur from sukkah. But katan sheino tzarich l'imo chayiv b'sukkah. It's a very strange terminology the Gemara uses. Nashim avadim ketanim p'turim min ha-sukkah sounds like all ketanim are patur from the sukkah. It doesn't sound like it's only a different ketanim below the age of chinuch. But then the Mishnah qualifies that and says, no, that's not correct. A katan sheino tzarich l'imo is chayiv in sukkah. Once a child doesn't need his mother anymore, he's chayiv in sukkah. And then it tells a strange story of Maisa v'yolda kalosva shel shamei azak inu p'cheis esama azeva v'sikei chalgavei amita b'shvil katan. One time, the daughter-in-law of Shammai Azakein had a baby, and they took the roof off in the nursery in the room that the baby slept in, and they put a schach on it instead, in order that the baby should be in a sukkah. That even the baby has to be in a sukkah. So it's a bit of an unusual kind of story, not the least for mostly because it directly contradicts the previous line of the Mishnah. So on the Gemara, on Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses this part of the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, katan shein tzarich limo. So first the Gemara says, what's the definition? What does it mean, katan shein tzarich limo? Hechidami katan shein tzarich limo. So the Gemara says, two possibilities. Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, kol shenifna ve'enima mikanachto. Anyone who goes to the bathroom and his mother doesn't have to wipe him, so at that point he's already eno tzarich limo. Eno tzarich meaning, eno tzarich limo is not defined by how he does the mitzvah of sukkah, but it's by how independent he is in general. His basic bodily functions. Can he function independently? Nothing to do with the mitzvah of sukkah per se. But if he can function independently, then he's a katan sheino tzarich l'imo, and then he's a bar chinuch. Then he's of the age of chinuch. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol sheneiru mishinasa v'eino kari ima, that anyone who wakes up from a sleep and doesn't call out in the middle of the night, ima. So, frak the Gemara, gedola nami karu, even older people, when they wake up in the middle of the night, call out for their mothers. Ella kol sheneiru v'eino kari ima. It's not, older people will call out, screaming for their mothers, then they'll realize, wait a second, I'm 30 years old, why am I screaming for my mother? And they won't do it twice. But a katan, when he's 4 years old, he's going to keep on screaming ima ima until the mother comes. So that's a katan sheino tzarich limo. It seems just pashup shat, the defining line between those two definitions, the distinction between those two definitions is, like I just mentioned before, is do we define katan sheino tzarich limo in terms of your ability to be mekayim the mitzvahs of sukkah, such as sleeping, which is one of the major requirements of Sukkah, or do we define it as just a maturity level, but not really particularly related to your ability to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah? Whether a child needs his mother to wipe him when he goes to the bathroom, to clean him off after he goes to the bathroom, doesn't really relate to how he does the mitzvah of Sukkah. Whether he's able to sleep through the night in a Sukkah without his mother there relates very much to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now the Gemara then says Ma'isa v'yolda kalaso. Then tells the Mishnah told us the story of the daughter-in-law of Shammai Azaka. In fact, the Gemara Ma'isa listar. The story contradicts the halacha that we said the line before. Answers the Gemara, that's right. Chisuri makzur v'achiktani v'shammai machmir. Now you should know, even though in the Mishnah we said that a katan who's very young does not need to sit in Sukkah, Shammai was machmir. Even very young children need to sit in Sukkah. And he actually did that. He actually required his little baby grandson to be in the Sukkah. So a couple of background points to deal with. First of all, let's just stay local first before we get to feeding a katan outside of the Sukkah. First of all, before we even get to the Mar Makom, it's just some background, some basic points in the Gemara. A katan atzarich li'imo. Why do we define the age of chinuch for a katan by who is tzarich li'imo and not tzarich li'imo? Why does tzarich li'imo make a difference? Whether you need the mother or don't need the mother, why should that define when he's ready for Sukkah? So in order to discuss that intelligently, we have to discuss for a moment, when are katanim normally chayiv in mitzvos? At what age does a katan generally become chayiv in mitzvos? And then maybe we can figure out if there's a way to apply this to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now the Gemara in Sukkah daf membeza med aleph, we're not at yet, we'll get to later in the year hopefully. The Gemara in Sukkah daf membeza med aleph tells us that katan ayodeya linanea chayiv belulav. At what age does a katan become chayiv in lulav? When he knows how to do the na'anuim of the lulav. Now when are yotzei the mitzvah of lulav? What does it take to be able to say the mitzvah of lulav? So the Gemara has an expression. Yeah, what is it? Mida'ag bei nafak bei. That as soon as you pick up the lulav, you're already yotzei the mitzvah. But a katan is not chayiv in lulav when he knows how to pick it up. He's chayiv in lulav when he knows how to shake it, when he knows how to do all the na'anuim. I didn't give a shir here on how to do the na'anuim, right? It was only in the shul I gave the shir. So there's a whole lamdus. It's a whole sugya in halacha. How to do the na'anuim of a lulav. You got to be pretty intelligent. The katan has to be pretty advanced to know, do you shake it like this? You know, like, a little bit with more of a shake to it as you go. Is it just out and then you do all the shaking and then in and then out, or do you go back? There's a whole Torah to the Nanuim. So Katan is Yodel Nanea, when he knows how to do the Nanuim, that's when he's chayiv in lulav. Now when he knows how to do the mitzvah, the Gemara goes on in Sukkah Daf Mem Beis. When is a Katan chayiv in tefillin? Lishmar tefillin aviv lokeach lo tefillin. When he knows how to be shomer tefillin, how to protect the tefillin. What does it take to be able to say the mitzvah of tefillin? Put them on. You got to say the mitzvah. As long as you know where to put them on your body, you got to say the mitzvah. Right? If you put them literally b'nei nechem, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. But if you know that it means on the forehead, and you know, you could be a 5-year-old kid and be pretty good at looking like you know how to put on the tefillin in the right place. I have proof to that. So that's when you can technically be yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin. When is a katan chayiv? When does a father start buying his kid tefillin? When he knows how to be shomer the tefillin, how to protect the tefillin. The Gemara says, when is a katan chayiv in kriyashma Talmud Torah? That's yodei ledaber, as soon as he knows how to speak. Well, that's already at a very young age. As soon as he knows how to speak, the first words on his mouth should already be words of Torah. But the Achronim point out, I think most famously they say in B'Shem the Brisker Rav, that what you see from this Gemara, and the truth is, Tosfos says it. If you look at Tosfos doesn't say it in so many words, says it a little differently, but if you look at Tosfos in Dibur Maschil Kan over here on Chaf Chesam Beis toward the end of the Tosfos, and the Ran says the same thing, he says, Hashta higil chinuch darminu b'kol duchta ein kulan shavim. When we say higil chinuch, it's not like there's a magic number when a child is higil chinuch. It's not like, oh, 7? Oh, so he's higil chinuch. Higia l'chinuch really depends on what we're talking about, on what mitzvah we're talking about. It's not always the same. Elakol echol d'fiyin yano. Each mitzvah has its own definition of what the age of chinuch is. Da'acha amrinan bein tzarech li'imo. Over here we say, when he doesn't call out for his mother in the middle of the night, that's higia l'chinuch of sukkah. V'gabei chagiga sheyachol alos. When it comes to chagiga, when he's able to walk, to be able to regel, so that's higia l'chinuch. When it comes to lulav, when he knows how to do the nanuim, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, another good example, it's when he's yodel is atef. Now, what do you have to do to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis? Just to be wearing the tzitzis. What's this atef? To do a whole atifa, to wrap your head and do a whole. That is not what you need to be mekayim the mitzvah. You can be mekayim the mitzvah without atifa. But Yodel is Satif, that's when he's chayv and tzitzis. V'gabei Torah b'yodel daber. So says Tosos, there is no one age of chinuch. It really depends on the mitzvah. But Zok the Brisker Rav, I think in the beginning of Erechin is where the Brisker Rav appears. In his Chidush HaGriz on Shas, or only on Kachim Masechtas, plus I think Nazir and Sota. But Nazir is Kemata Kachim Masechta. But it's Kachim Masechta, it's pretty much a Nazir and Sota. So the Brisker Rav writes that the age of chinuch is not when a child knows how to do a mitzvah, it's when a child knows how to do the mitzvah bishlei musa, when he knows how to do the mitzvah with all the bells and whistles attached. If he can do the mitzvah, but just a bare bones level of the mitzvah, then he's not yet at the age of chinuch for that mitzvah. We only start training a child in a mitzvah when he's able to do the mitzvah in its fullest form, in its fullest sense. Now, what's interesting, The Bikuri Yaakov writes, I saw quoted in one of these Achronos Shesvarim, the Bikuri Yaakov writes in Tafresh Nun Zayin, Sif Katan Gimel, he writes the following, what's the svara for that? Why is it that he needs to know how to do the mitzvah with all the bells and whistles? If the idea of chinuch, and maybe we'll discuss this on Sunday a little more, but if the idea of chinuch is that we teach him to be mekayim a mitzvah, like an einam mitzvah v'yosa, just like a woman sits in sukkah, so we teach a child to sit in sukkah. We teach a child to do mitzvahs. He's an ena mitzvah, and let him do the mitzvah. Why does he have to know how to do the mitzvah with all the extras? Why don't we already train him to do the mitzvah as soon as he knows how to do the mitzvah? So what's the svara? So Bikuri Yaakov says the svara is a very pashta svara, that if you teach him to do a mitzvah before he knows how to do it right, then the problem is we're afraid that it's going to be a bad chinuch. Because he's going to think, this is the mitzvah. He's going to think, this is where the mitzvah begins and this is where it ends. And that he's got it. And that there's nowhere to grow from here. So Rabbi Kamenetsky was talking about tefillah. This is very often what happens with, we have to teach kids at a young age to daven. But very often, we never really develop beyond that point, beyond fourth grade level of tefillah. I know how to say the words. I know where I'm supposed to answer amen. I know what I'm... That's it. That's tefillah. You know, we intellectually we would view a person who learns and has his level of learning stunted at the fourth grade level, you know, just completely stopped at the fourth grade level, we'd mock that. But most of us do that with tefillah. So it's very dangerous to teach a child to do a mitzvah before he really knows how to do it. Now with tefillah we have no choice because it's a lifelong growth process. But in most mitzvos, you know how to do the nanuim, good. So once you know how to do the nanuim for real, you really know how to do the mitzvah. You know how to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, good. Now we could train you in the mitzvah. So says Bikuri Yaakov, when it comes to sukkah, so what do we ask? Why is it that a katan shein lo tzarech li'imo is nachayv in sukkah? After the kid knows how to eat, he can eat. Let him eat in the sukkah. Why do we have to wait till he's eino tzarech li'imo when he's able to sleep in the sukkah too? Who cares if he's not able to sleep in the sukkah? Let him eat in the sukkah. So says Bikuri Yaakov, because we're afraid the kid's going to grow up, and one day he's going to think, oh, you know what the mitzvah of sukkah is? Eating meals. That sukkah is a place to have lunch, like Rabbi Willie likes to say. Sukkah is a place to have lunch. It's a place where you eat. It's not a place where I live. It's not a place where I sleep. It's a place where I have lunch. So in order to counteract the negative chinuch, we say, no, we're not mechanich him till he's really ready. Till he's ready to understand the mitzvah in its fullest form, in the full capacity of the mitzvah. That's how the Bikuri Yaakov explains. So now, going back to that question, why is it that a katan sheino tzarech li'imo is not chayiv in sukkah? Why can't we be mechayiv in sukkah before that? So number one is the first explanation that a lot of the Rishonim give, if you look around, the Ritva, the Ran, they all basically explain the same idea, and that is that a katan sheino tzarech, that it's still tzarech li'imo, simply can't do the mitzvah on his own, right? If he wakes up in the middle of the night, he can't do it. He's unable to do the mitzvah on his own. And the way we determine whether he's yodea to do the mitzvah is not whether he can do it with assistance. He needs to be able to do it by himself. If you can do a mitzvah independently, that's the age. So true, you could put the mother in the sukkah and he'll be fine. Just have the mother sleep in the sukkah and the kid will be fine. Yeah, but then he's not doing it on his own. The definition, the way we define able to do the mitzvah, is someone who's able to do the mitzvah on his own. So that's one approach as to why it is dafka katan tzarich li'imo. What does tzarich li'imo have anything to do with the mitzvah of sukkah? Is that if he's tzarich li'imo, means he needs help in order to be able to sleep through the night in sukkah, and that's the mitzvah, so he's unable to sleep through the night. He's unable to do the mitzvah. Another approach that the Rishonim give, that the Ran, the Ritva, the Levush, all the Rishonim give, is that he's, the katan is pater, if he's tzarich li'imo, since if he needs his imo, if he needs his mother all the time, and his mother's pater from sukkah, so it's impossible to be mechanich the child, to be mechayev the child. It's a little bit of a strange lashon. If you look at the Ran on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Bedapei Arif, the Ran gives you, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph rather, Bedapei Arif, he gives you a little bit, but he doesn't really get into exactly what he means by this, and we have to see how the Achronim understood this. But the Ran, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph Bedapei Arif, on the Mishnah, the fourth wide line, the fifth wide line, he says, V'rabbanan Savri, Dekivan She'imo Peturim in Asukah, since his mother is Pater from Sukkah, Eino Ra'i L'chinuch Sukkah Kol Shu Tzarech La. He's not Ra'i for Chinuch of Sukkah. Because his mother's pater. What does that mean? He's not roi for chinuch of sukkah because his mother is pater from sukkah. So the way that some understand these rishonim, the way that some understand the Prima Gadim explains in his Psicha Kolelis. We've quoted the Psicha Kolelis in the past. Fantastic, fabulous sefer. The Psicha Kolelis of the Prima Gadim, he explains that what the Ran means is that since he needs his mother and his mother is pater from sukkah, she's unable to be mechanechim. The whole chiyuv of chinuch is on his parents, so that's where the chiyuv of chinuch is going to begin. But if his mother is unable to participate in the chinuch, memele, there's no chiyuv of chinuch. That's what the Ran means to say, that the whole chiyuv of chinuch is for his mother and father to train him. This kid actually needs his mother to train him in this area. Mother's pater from sukkah, so she's not there. Memele, she can't train him, so if she can't train him, then obviously he's not ready to be trained. That's the definition. That's how the Prima Gadim understands that. Now, if you define the Ran, if you explain the Ran in that way, then the Ran is making a major statement about the Chiyuv of Chinuch. And that is that there's a machlokas rishonim whether the mother is chayiv in the chinuch of her child or not, or it's only a chiyuv on the father to be mechanech a child. Prima Gadim assumes that it is a chiyuv on the mother, right? The Prima Gadim says, and Prima Gadim brings a raya. He says that when the Levush quotes this lashon of the Ran, he changes the lashon a little bit. He writes as follows: Shahoil v'hutzarich achar imo v'imo petura almi nati lechancho. His mother's not going to be there. Who can we be mechayev in the chinuch of the child if the mother's not there? Even more strong that you see that he's taking a clear stance that the mother is chayiv in the chinuch of the child. So it doesn't just say that the mother is pater from sukkah, but that the mother is necessary for the chayiv of chinuch. So that's what the Prima Gadim explains. Now, in some of the Mefarshim and the Psicha Kolelis, they're not so sure if that's what the Ran really means. That if the mother was chayiv in sukkah, you know, meaning what they think the Ran means was that simply if the mother was chayiv in sukkah, then the father could be mechanech the child in the mitzvah of sukkah. But since the mother's not chayiv in sukkah, the father simply lacks the ability to do his job of chinuch. Not that it's the mother, that you need the mother to do the chinuch, and if the mother's not there, who's going to do the chinuch? Ay vey, what are we going to do? Mom's not here, how's chinuch going to happen? No, chinuch isn't a chiyuv on the mother, chinuch is a chiyuv on the father. Elamai, if the kid needs to be running to mommy every 2 seconds, the father doesn't have access to the kid to be mechanichim. The father can only be mechanich the child if the kid's not running to his mommy every 2 seconds. And mommy's not in the sukkah, mommy's at home. That's what the Ran means to say. That pasha the tzuchiv of the father, but the father is not able to be mechanich the child, that the child's not going to be there because he's got to go to his mother. So it could be that that's what the Ran means to say, and it's not at all, the Ran is not at all taking a stand in terms of the chiyuv of chinuch. A third possibility of why it is that a katan that's tzarich li'imel is pater from sukkah is Briskarav. Briskarav writes in Masech Seirik in just a very pashut, very, very pashut svara, that if he's tzarich li'imel, so let's say, Rachman al Tzlan, you have a person who needs a nurse in the middle of the night for help with his breathing or whatever, needs some medical attention or something just to keep him going, and it's an ongoing thing that he needs. So does he have to stay in sukkah? Of course he's patur from sukkah. Why is he patur from sukkah? He's patur because he's a chola or a mitzta'er. So says Briskarav, the katan is patur because even if a gadol, let's say you have a gadol is incapacitated and he needed someone to help him, he needs someone to help him to just move over, to go to the bathroom, do anything. So such a gadol is patur from sukkah also. So a katan has the same thing of a gadol. A katan is chayiv in sukkah, except if he needs his mother, he's a mitzta'er. And a mitzta'er is patur. So middle, the katan is going to be patur in that situation. That's probably the most pasha pshat. The most pasha pshat. The only thing is that would only explain, let's say a person is mitzta'er b'shas shena, not b'shas achila. If a person is only mitzta'er when they sleep, but not when they eat. So many of us are like that, that we're mitzta'er for sleeping in the sukkah. For some reason, we're so spoiled in our comfortable ways of sleeping that when we sleep in the sukkah, we're mamish mitzta'er. We can't get a decent night's sleep in the sukkah. So if you have something like that, so such a person, they don't have to eat in the sukkah either. No, mistama, they're pater from sleeping in the sukkah, but they do have to eat in the sukkah. So that's why the Briskarav is a little bit hard to explain. To say that it's a regular patur mitzta'er is going to be very difficult to explain. Well, then why doesn't he have to eat in the sukkah? Unless you say, maybe he does. Maybe he does have to eat in the sukkah. It's not what it sounds like from the Mishnah, though. It sounds like Chazar Shenas Arachlimo doesn't need to be in the sukkah at all. Those are the different explanations that you can find in regards to what the svara is for katan shein tzarich li'imo. Now, what about the shita of Shammai HaZaken? What was going through Shammai HaZaken's head when Shammai HaZaken decided that a one-day-old baby needs to be in the sukkah? So, the Shammai HaZaken mistama is moda by every other mitzvah that a one-day-old baby does not have to do it. Right, mistami is moda by other mitzvahs that a one-day-old baby is not required. So some of the Rishonim explain that according to Shammai, the chiyuv on the katan is not to be. There's no chiyuv on the katan to be in the sukkah because after all, he has no das. The chiyuv to have the katan in the sukkah is a vardim teshuv kein tadiru. That when I live in my home, my children live in my home with me also. So if I'm going to live in the sukkah properly, I'm going to live in the sukkah like a mensch. It means my family is going to be with me. The obvious kasha, and what about, right, what about your wife also, what about women, they should also be in the sukkah with you. So that's what they say. Maybe the Gemara has a special exclusion, a special exemption, that's why you need a special pasuk to tell me, right? The Gemara discusses that over here, that one might have had a havamina that a woman should be chayiv because of teshuv kein tadiru, so kamash malon that she's not, right? Havamina teshuv kein tadiru, madiru ish vishra av sukkah ish vishra, kamash malon. Right, that's why I have a special chiddush in the pasuk to tell me otherwise. But so that's actually the biggest raya. What do you see? Absent such a chiddush in the pasuk, so then katanim should be chayiv. So maybe Shammai held that katanim are chayiv midin teishvu ke'ein tadiru. That's how some understand. Now the Ritva writes that way. The Ra'ah writes that way. That's how the Rishonim basically explain the shita of Shammai. What?
That's not assuming that the child is
chayav,
that's just assuming that you're
right, it's your chiyuv. You need to make the child be in the sukkah, not for the child's sake, for your own sake. It's not a din chinuch. Yeah, so it's different than the katan shein tzarich li'imo, where he's actually chayav midin chinuch. It's your chiyuv to be able for you to do the mitzvah of sukkah properly. Good. Now, what's the raya that maybe Shammai Taka held women have to be in the sukkah also because of teshuv kein tadiru, not for their own chiyuv but for your chiyuv? So that the Rishonim already quote that it says in the Mishnah he was sichech al gabe amita b'shvil katan, but his daughter-in-law was there too. Sichech al gabe amita b'shvil katan. Why doesn't it say sichech b'shvil katan v'kalasa? For his daughter-in-law also. So that's what they bring. That's the raya even Shammai would admit that an Isha would not be the same, that an Isha would not have to be in the sukkah. Pnei Yeshua understands that it's all Din D'Rabbanan, that it's all Din D'Rabbanan, the requirement that Shammai had, Chumra Mi D'Rabbanan, that the children should be in the sukkah, and he quotes an asmachta from Pasuk and Tehillim, but Necha Kishsile Zesim Savav L'Shulchanecha. That the children should be all around your table, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Other explanations of what Shammai HaZaken held, also found in the Ritva and the Ran, basic Rishonim, just the basic Rishonim on the Daf, is that Shammai held a Katan is able to do the mitzvah as soon as he's born. Because what's the mitzvah? Sleeping. He knows how to sleep. Babies are very, very good at sleeping. So much so that we have an expression, sleeping like a baby. They're very, very good at sleeping. They could sleep 18 hours a day when they're born. So since he's already ready, he's ready for this one. He's ready for the mitzvah. So as soon as he knows how to do it, have him do it. And the Chachamim obviously say, no, he doesn't really know how to do it because in the middle of the night, he's going to need his mother. So that's not called knowing how to do the mitzvah. Shammai says, I don't care that he'll be interrupted in the middle. Shammai HaZaken will say, I don't care that he's going to be interrupted in the middle. He knows how to do the basic mitzvah. So as soon as he knows how to do the basic mitzvah, get him out there and let him do the basic mitzvah. Okay, those are the basic approaches just understanding the Gemara. Now let's discuss a little more broadly. The mitzvah of chinuch and training a child to be yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah, at what age and how it works, and whether one is allowed to give children food outside of a sukkah. So there's a Mishnah Maseches Yoma Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us, source number one, Hatinokos ein ma'aninosam b'yom ha-kippurim, even though there's a mitzvah Inui v'yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of afflicting oneself in Yom Kippur. We don't do that to little kids. But for 2 years before the kid becomes bar mitzvah, the child should fast on Yom Kippur. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say all these different minhagim of when a child begins to fast. Three fasts before the bar mitzvah, this, that. In Shulchan Aruch it says no fasts before the bar mitzvah. Yom Kippur, 2 years before the bar mitzvah. That's it. That's what a child should fast before his bar mitzvah. My son decided he was going to do that this year, and that's what he did. He said, okay, that's it. I fasted. He's 11 years old. And I said, this is 2 Yom Kippurs before my bar mitzvah. So he made it through the whole day in Yom Kippur, and he said, yes, now I don't have to do the 3 fasts before my bar mitzvah. As long as I do his Yom Kippur next Yom Kippur, that's all he needs. Right? That's the din in Shulchan Aruch. But what's this din? It's a din of chinuch, that we're training him how to do the fasting on Yom Kippur. Now, where does this mitzvah of chinuch come from? Where does this mitzvah of chinuch come from? So that's a Mishnah. That's one of the few Mishnayos that actually tell you about a direct mitzvah of chinuch. Now, where in the Torah does it say a mitzvah of chinuch? So, I think, if I recall correctly, I forgot to look it up this morning, Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher has a couple of pieces on a couple of essays on the topic of Ratzon HaTorah. That there are certain things that we just know God wants them. That it can't be any other way. God obviously wants it. And he says Ratzon HaTorah can come in different forms. Sometimes Ratzon HaTorah is by the Torah telling us enough stories about the Avos doing certain things, even if they're not formal mitzvahs. Why does the Torah keep telling us about the Avos and what great examples they are doing certain things, if not that God wants you to do it? So it's not when the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Ben, it's not said B'lashon Sivoy anywhere, but you know that God wants it. And sometimes Ratzon HaTorah is just Svara. It has to be that God wants it. It has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. So Rav Asher Weiss says, think about it. If you assume the mitzvah of chinuch is only midrabanan, it's not midaraisa, because nowhere in the Torah does it say mitzvah of chinuch midaraisa. It does say you have to teach your children Torah. It doesn't say you have to teach them to be observant Jews. It doesn't say you have to teach them to observe the laws of the Torah. Just that you have to teach them Torah. So Rav Asher Weiss says, so think about that for a second. What did the Torah envision a Jewish family to be like? What's for dinner tonight? Well, for the kids, it's cheeseburgers. And for the adults, we're going to be having chicken, whatever. We're going to be having kosher food. Yeah, you know, the children do anything, and then snap, bar mitzvah, okay, now you're chayiv, change everything. It can't be that's what the Torah envisioned. That the Torah envisioned that you can have a bunch of kids, you know, wearing shatnez, being boel arayos, and eating chazer treif, and then as soon as they become bar mitzvah, all of a sudden everything changes. It's impossible. That's what the Torah envisioned. But is there anything stronger than that? So there's a lot to say on this, and maybe we'll save some of this for next week. But the Rambam, at least we could read. The Rambam writes in Machlos Asuros, Afli shein bezim mitzvah in the hafrish as a katab mitzvah al aviv ligarbo ula hafrisho kede lechanchel bekedusha. So this is a chiyuv. The Rambam says, I'm going to talk about a chiyuv that doesn't apply to anybody else but the parents of the child. And that's how you know that he's talking about the mitzvah of chinuch. There are other halachas, which we'll soon see, that relate to people beyond the parents. But the mitzvah of chinuch is dafka a mitzvah on the parents. So the mitzvah that's dafka on the parents is shenemar chanoch lenar al pi darko. Pasuk midivrei Kabbalah. Doesn't appear in the Torah, but a pasuk midivrei Kabbalah, that we have a source midivrei Kabbalah, that a person has to be mechanech the child. And the age of chinuch, like we said, whatever, at the age where a child is really able to do the mitzvah well. Not just to do the mitzvah, but to do the mitzvah really well. That's one inyan. But then there's another inyan when it comes to children and mitzvahs that's not related to chinuch at all. A totally separate inyan. And that emerges from a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yadalit. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about three psukim, three mitzvahs in particular. This is source number 5. Gemara in Yevamos says, Lo sa'achum ki shaketzeim. You're not supposed to feed shkatzim urmasim to your children. Lo sa'achilum widarshun. Lahazir agdolim alaktanim. That you shouldn't feed kids shkatzim, you shouldn't feed kids rodents and insects and things like that. That's not an appropriate meal for children. And it's your responsibility not to give that to children. It's not just the child's responsibility, nor even the parent's responsibility alone. Every Jew has a chiyuv and isur da'oraisa, pashtos da'oraisa, of lo sa'achilum. My lav da'amaluhu lo sochlu. Doesn't this mean you're supposed to tell kids and yell at them, don't eat chazer treif, don't eat shkatzim rumasim. It means you're not allowed to feed it to them. You're not allowed to provide them with the non-kosher food. Tashma, another pasuk. Kol nefesh michem lo sochadam. There's an issue, you're not allowed to eat blood. Lahazir gedolim al ketanim. Also, gedolim, not allowed to give blood to ketanim to eat. Why would anyone eat blood? Unsalted meat. Blood, there's dam in unsalted meat. My lav da'amri lulo sochlu. So does that mean it's enough to just tell the kids, don't eat blood? The issur is to provide the children with blood to eat. Third pasuk, Emor v'yamarta, Emor al kohanim, about Tumas kohanim. Lazir gedolim al ketanim. My lav damar lulo satamu. Doesn't that mean that the adults should tell the children, don't go into the cemetery? You're not allowed to bring a child into the cemetery. Three Yisurim in the Torah where you're not allowed to provide a child with an Isser. These Yisurim in the Torah do not apply only to the parents. It's not the exclusive domain of the parents. It applies to everybody. Nobody is allowed to feed a child something Asser. Now the question that the Achronim deal with is this limited to these three psukim, or are these three psukim examples, but really any isser you're not allowed to feed to a child? What's generally the rule when you have three psukim? So when you have one pasuk, what's the rule generally? So mematzinu, it's one of the midrash hatar and drash ben, as you say, that it's lamed al klal kulo, it comes to teach on everything. If the Torah tells me a rule in one place, so I'm supposed to apply it everywhere else in the Torah. If it tells me in two places, so typically speaking, we have another one in the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben, Sheikh Sumabam Kechad, that when you have two psukim that come to teach me the same din in two different areas, it must be that that din is limited to those two areas. Even those who don't hold, those Amorim that don't hold of Sheikh Sumabam Kechad, the Gemara says, might hold of Shloshek Sumabam Kechad. That if you have three psukim teaching me an unusual din, that it says in three places not to tell me that you should apply it everywhere else, but that it dafka applies in these three areas, and the issur doesn't apply anywhere else. So some of the Achronim say, yeah, Gemara Yevamos Kuf Yadalet tells me three psukim, I'm not allowed to feed a kid insects, rodents, I'm not allowed to feed a kid blood, and I'm not allowed to bring a child kohen into a cemetery. But if I want to give a kid nevela, if I want to give a kid food on Yom Kippur, if I want to give a kid any other issur in the Torah, I want to give him muktzah toys to play with on Shabbos, whatever it is, any other issur in the Torah, so that's fine, that's perfectly fine. That's how some Achronim understand. Others say, no, for whatever reason, Shlosh Ksuv Abam Kecha does not apply over here. The Gemara is just giving examples from these three Pesukim, but really it's a rule in Kol HaTorah Kula. Strangely, we typically assume like the latter Shita, that it's a that it's rule in Kol HaTorah Kula, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the latter Shita, Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Hilchos Shabbos, right, about providing children with Isurim, that you're not allowed to provide children with Isurim. Now, it's very important to understand the difference between the mitzvah of chinuch and the issue of los achilum. I wrote an article years ago on the issue of feeding children kosher food, not giving children not kosher food. So the way I started the article is by first outlining the three potential issues that there are in giving children non-kosher food. Number one is chinuch. Number two is los achilum, and number three is dafka, an inyan with food, of timtum alev, causing some sort of spiritual degeneration of the child's neshama by giving non-kosher food. But we're going to leave timtum alev out of this discussion, because we're going to assume timtum alev only applies to non-kosher food. And that's therefore not going to apply to feeding a child outside of the sukkah. It's not going to apply to feeding the child nevela. Well, nevela, but giving a child muktzah toys and Shabbos or whatever, it's not going to apply more broadly. So let's focus on these two isurim, or these two inyanim, the inyan of chinuch and the inyan of los achilim. They are two completely different things. They should not be confused with each other. What are the differences? Primarily, there are two differences between them. Chinuch is only a din on the parents. Parents need to be mechanech their children. Los achilim is a din on anybody. Any Jewish adult is not allowed to provide a child with Isurim. Anybody. Second important difference, chinuch only applies when a child is a bar chinuch, when he's at the age of chinuch. The Isur of los achilum seems to apply when the child is a newborn. When the child, right when the child is born, you're not allowed to feed the child. The nevelos are not allowed to feed the child non-kosher food, even if he's right out of the womb. It's absolutely also right, way before the child ever reaches the age of chinuch. Those are the two primary differences between the inyan of chinuch and the inyan of los achilum. So that's the background. So what about children in sukkah? So we know there's the major gemara about this topic appears way earlier in the Masechta, Daf Beis Amud Beis. The gemara, Rabbi Bolzman, I'm sure, spoke about it. I asked him if we're going to be overlapping too much. He said, guys will feel smart if you overlap too much. They'll feel like, oh yeah, we know that, it'll be okay. It's a very Rabbi Balsam-like comment. So the Gemara talks about Ilani Amalka and how she sat in Sukkah with her children. And the Gemara says that that it was a Maisa B'Ilani Amalka, Maisa B'Ilani Amalka, B'Lud, Shaisa Sukkasa Kvav Master Mama. Her Sukkah happened to have been taller than 20 Amos, and the Zakenim, the Talmidei Chacham, would come in and out of the sukkah. They saw her sitting there. The sukkah was 120 amos, and no one said a word to her. Of course, no one said a word to her. She's a woman. She doesn't have to sit in the sukkah anyway. So even though the sukkah was pasul because it was 120 amos, no one bothered her because if it's a pasul sukkah, it doesn't matter because she's pater from sukkah anyway. But she had seven sons, and they weren't pater from sukkah. And everything she did based on what the Chacham told her. So why does he have to give us that second reason, the Gemara asked? Lest you think, yeah, she had seven sons, but they were all below the age of chinuch. No, ketanim patur min hasukkah, kiven deshiva havu iyef shalavi buchad sheino tzarech liimo. If you have seven of them, assuming no multiple births, or few multiple births, very few multiple births, it's impossible that if you have seven sons, just, you know, seven times, got to figure they can't be more than 10 months apart, right? So it's you got to assume 70 months. The oldest one is a minimum of 70 months old. 70 months is almost 6 years old. He no longer cries out in the middle of the night, ima ima, and mela, he's going to be chayiv in sukkah. And yet she kept that child in this sukkah that was more than 20 amos with her. So don't you? And the rabbis didn't say anything to her. So don't you see that a sukkah more than 20 amos is kosher? That's what the Gemara tries to prove. Now, Tos Yishanim in Maseches Yuma. In Maseches Yuma, on the side of the page, the Tos Yishanim is printed. In Yuma, you'll find, when learning through various sugyas, you'll find Achronim quoting Tos Yishanim much more frequently, even more frequently than they quote regular Tosos in Maseches Yuma. Tos Yishanim is one of the more important Rishonim in Maseches Yuma, and it appears within the Tosos sometimes, just in a different font. So the Tosos Yishanim in Maseches Yuma asks a fundamental question. if you hold that women are not chayiv in chinuch in the first place, if you hold that the whole chayiv of chinuch is only on men, so vayter, what's the Gemara proving? Again, the Gemara tries to prove from the fact that she had a 7-year-old boy sitting in the sukkah, that the sukkah must have been a kosher sukkah. Because after all, she's going to be mechanic the child. The child is at the age of chinuch for sukkah. Why is that a raya? Maybe it's because she was alone, her husband wasn't there, and she has no chiv of chinuch. It's not her responsibility to be mechanic the child, that's the husband's responsibility, that's the father's responsibility. Says the Toshishonim, V'Rebbe Omer, D'chinuch lo shayich ela ba'av, Aval Badamach lo shayich b'chinuch, Chilkach rami ein esaron lafrisho, U'maisa de'eloni amalka, Shiyosh v'hi v'shiva banel, B'suka, Shema havalem av v'chinchem b'kach. You gotta say that there was a father around. For some reason, he didn't make the cut to be mentioned in the Gemara. You gotta say there was a father who was mechanic them. Really? You have to say that? I'm pretty sure there wasn't. No? Does the story even make sense if there was a father around? What are we focused on the kids for? Shouldn't the focus have been on where, if the father was right there in the sukkah, shouldn't that have been the focus? If he's being mechanic the children? The Gemara's bringing a riot. Oh, the kids were there. It must have been a kosher sukkah. How about the fact that there was a 40-year-old man there? So Tosafot trying to make such a nukimta, there must have been a father there. Or maybe you can say, she wasn't chayev to be mechanech then, but you know, it's a really nice thing to do. No one's going to say it's bad for the mother to be mechanech then, so she was doing it as an extra chumrah. Is that the pshat in the Gemara? The Gemara's trying to prove that it was a kosher sukkah, because how else could she have allowed her 7-year-old child to sit in that sukkah? If you're going to say that the whole reason she had the kids in the sukkah was just, might as well. Mitzvah min amuvchar. Then does the Gemara have any proof? The Gemara must be understanding that there's a chiyuv over here. That there would have been a halachic problem with her feeding her 7-year-old kid outside the sukkah. Or an apostle of sukkah. That's clearly the assumption of the Gemara. The two terutzim of the Tosafot Yeshanim don't really seem to address that kasha. It seems very, very dachuk. The Gilyon HaShas, points out, Rabbi Kivager points out, that it can't be that it was just a Chumra B'Alma, because we're trying to prove something from it. So says the Aruch Liner, in the Masechta Sukkah on the spot, earlier in the Masechta, it could be that she's not obligated in the mitzvah of Chinuch, but we pointed out before, that whenever you talk about relating to a child, and Isurim, children doing Isurim, you have two issues to contend with. You have the issue of Chinuch. What else do you have? The issue of Los Achila. You're not allowed to feed a child something usser. Give a child something usser. Mitzvah of Chinuch, we said, applies to who? Father and mother, or maybe only father, according to some. Mitzvah Los Achila applies to who? Every single Jew. Man, woman, doesn't make a difference. No one is allowed to feed a child. So says the Aruch Liner, even if you hold the woman is not chayv in chinuch, she's not chayv in being mechanich her children, she still had no business feeding a 7-year-old child outside of a sukkah. It must have been a kosher sukkah, because she had no business feeding a child, 7-year-old child outside of a sukkah. It's lo sachilein. It's the isra of feeding a child non-kosher outside of a sukkah. That's how the Aruch Liner understands it. Why then does the child have to be of the age of chinuch? Remember we said before that the Yisra of Los Achilein, one of the unique characteristics of the Yisra of Los Achilein is that it applies even when the baby's a newborn. But the Gemara made a big deal. Oh, 7 of them, the oldest one must have been of the age of chinuch. But if you say like the Brisker Rav, you understand very well. So what did the Brisker Rav say? The child who's below the age of 7, the child is below the age of 7, it's not that there's some special patur for a child below the age of chinuch, that he's just not yet at the age of chinuch, but there's really an isser for him to eat outside of the sukkah. It's just that he's not yet at the age of chinuch for that. How did the Brisker Rav understand it? A child who's still tzarech li'imo, why is he patur from sukkah? Because he's mitztayer. There's no isser of feeding a mitztayer outside of the sukkah. He's mamish patur. So it wouldn't be a violation of los achilim, not because of chinuch per se, But because he's a mitzayer when he's below the age of katan shein tzarich limo. When he's still tzarich limo, he's a mitzayer. So then, of course, you'd be allowed to feed them in a pasul sukkah. They're all mitzayer. But the oldest child who's not a mitzayer, you wouldn't be allowed to feed outside of the sukkah. Memela, that's the raya, not because of chinuch, but because of los achilein. That's how the Aruch Hanor understands. Yeah.
Is it a prat within
Sukkah,
or I thought that was just a separate
issur? It's an
issur
and
kolot harukula. Right, so why would we...
Can't feed a child isurim.
So then why would Mitzayir ever tell you that issur does not...
Because it's not an issur. It's not an issur. When you're Mitzayir, you're putter. So it's not an issur. Meaning it's like feeding a Kohen Truma. Feeding a Kohen Truma. That's not a problem. It's an issur for a Zar to eat Truma. Kohen's allowed to eat Truma. So he's not the chlal that mitzvah. It's not an issur for him.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. Right. That's the big thing you see from the Aruch Hanor, is that he understands Los Achilim is not just taking Cheftza Shel Isser, Nevela, Chazer. You know, something that you can look at and say, that's Usser. You're taking a kosher pastrami sandwich with 18 Ashkachas on it, and you're giving it to a child, and you're saying, that's also Los Achilim. Because of where he's eating it. That's a big chiddush. Yeah?
Even in that case, the kid's doing nothing wrong. If the father has a chiddush and mechanech, so you're feeding him something.
It's your issur, not the kid's issur.
What?
Right, it's your issur, it's not the kid's issur.
The woman also doesn't have a chiddush and mechanech. So how is it her issur?
Because she has an issur of los achilin.
Yeah, but I'm saying, how is this?
No, but that's the thing. Even a child before the age of chinuch, known as a mitzvah, let's say a child without a father before the age of chinuch wants to eat nevela, he's 1 year old. You're not allowed to give him that nevela. Right? There's an isser to give the child isser. Now, Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Reish Mem in Hilchos Sukkah writes, source number 10, Imo ein chayavus l'chanucho, like we said, ach yeshom shabezim chayavim l'chanucho v'lchein. Even an acher, even another party is not allowed to feed a child outside of the sukkah. Someone who's not their parent. What does Magen Avraham understand? What's the issur? If it's right? If it's not about chinuch, and I know it's not about chinuch because this is other people that we're talking about now. You're not allowed to feed the child outside of the sukkah. That's so sachilin. Mishabrua adds, Tafresh Mam Sifkat and Hey, you can't even tell the child to eat it. That's also so sachilin. Even if you're not actually giving him the food, you can't even say, oh, eat that. It's also a violation of the sachilin. So Rav Sternbach in Chuvus van Hagos, Chelakim, Simon Reshid Beis, says that if you give a child who's past the age of chinuch food outside of a sukkah, it could be that it's an issur d'oraisa of lifnei iver. Because once he's at the age of chinuch, it's an issur midrabanan for him to eat that food. When you are machshil somebody in an issur d'rabanan, it could be that you violate lifnei iver midoraisa. It's a big chiddush, because there's a major discussion in the Achronim about how to understand the issur of lifnei iver. If I cause you to violate an Isser, is it that I have a chelik in your Isser? So my Avera is part of your Avera? Or is it that there's a separate Isser called Lifnei Iver? And when I cause you to violate eating treif, I didn't violate eating treif, I violated Lifnei Iver. Two possibilities of understanding Lifnei Iver. I cause you to eat treif. Did I violate a little bit of eating treif? I have a chelik in your Isser? But did I violate lifnei iver? Many nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be, if I cause you to do an issur d'rabanan. See, if I just take a chelek in your issur, so then all I did was an issur d'rabanan. Because by getting you to do an issur d'rabanan, I take a chelek in your issur, it's an issur d'rabanan. But if you view it, not that I take a chelek in your issur, but that it's a separate issur called lifnei iver, so then that issur is d'oraisa. When I cause you to do something that is prohibited, bottom line prohibited, so that could be an issur d'oraisa. So there's a Tosos in Masechet Avodah Zarah that says that when you cause someone else to do an Issur Drabanan, you do violate Lifnei Iver Daraisa. But Tosos has a slightly different Svara. He says, you know why it's Lifnei Iver Daraisa? Because Lifnei Iver doesn't only mean you're not allowed to cause someone else to do an Issur. Lifnei Iver means that if I know a stock is about to plunge, it's about to do really poorly, I'm not allowed to advise you to buy that stock. I'm not allowed to give an Eitzah She'ino Hogeneslo. I'm not allowed to give you bad advice. So says Tosfos, that's Lifnei Iver Daraisa, to give you bad advice, even when I don't get you to do any Isser. If I cause you to violate an Isser Drabanan, it's Lo Garam Eitzah She'ino Hogenes. It's at least bad advice to ask you to do an Isser Drabanan. At the very least, it's bad advice. That's how Tosfos understands. But either way, Rosh Shurmach says, perhaps giving a child who's at the age of Chinuch outside of the Sukkah, when he's not yet at the age of Chinuch son, his mitzvah, it's my Yisr of Losachilin. Fine, that's what Magen Avraham says. When he's at the age of Chinuch, it might be a Nisr Daraisa of Lifnei Iver. Even worse. It's assuming that there is such a concept of Lifnei Iver on a child. I don't want to get into that whole discussion right now. Major problem with the Magen Avraham. One major problem, one minor problem. Magen Avraham says you can't feed a child outside of the Sukkah because of the Isser of Los Achille. Look at the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. Siman Tafresh Tazayin Sivkat and Beis. Source number 18. Kol Chinuch Katon Lo Shayech Ala Ba'av Rein Shem Tosos Mikol Mokom Nirli Delotitim Lam Lechol Dehavei Kamach Chilu Nevelos Biyadayim. Don't give a child food on Yom Kippur. Put it out before Yom Kippur. Let him take it. He's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Don't give him food on Yom Kippur. Because that's ma'achila nevela b'yadayim. You're giving him chazer treif. Ve'lo dami l'sukkah sh'rasharim li'ten alech ol'chutz l'sukkah. But it's not like sukkah. Sukkah you're allowed to do. Tahasam ba'achila ein iser. V'ino senas lo. U'malam yochol b'sukkah ol'chutz l'sukkah. Sukkah's different. There's no giving him chazer treif. You're giving him perfectly kosher food. Kid's deciding where he's going to eat it. The kid might take that food and bring it into the sukkah, or might decide to eat it outside of the sukkah. That's not what you're giving him. But there's no way to eat food on Yom Kippur that you're doing it in a month away. Eating food on Yom Kippur is aser. Sukkah, you're giving him food. You're not giving him an outside the sukkah. You're not taking away his sukkah. So he'll choose to eat in the sukkah or not to eat in the sukkah. Magen Avraham says such a svara, which is a great svara, even though we're not written by the Magen Avraham. Because the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah said beferish, it's an Isser Los Achilim to feed the child outside the Sukkah. Direct stira in the Magen Avraham. In Hilchos Sukkah he says it's Aser to feed a child outside the Sukkah. In Hilchos Yom Kippur he says no, it's Aser to feed a child in Yom Kippur. But feed a child outside the Sukkah, that's counts good, that's totally fine. It's a bomb kash in the Magen Avraham. The other problem, Rav Shurmach points out in Tshuvas Van Hagos, Chelek Gimel, Simon Reishit Aleph, that the concept of Los Achilein only applies to Isurim, not to Mitzvos. If I cause a child to not be able to do a Mitzvah's Aseh, a positive Mitzvah, I have not violated Los Achilein. Los Achilein only applies to Isurim. Dam, Shkatzim, Tumas Kalanim, all of them are Isurim. Mitzvah of Sukkah is what? Is it an asay or a los asay? Sukkah's teshu shivas yamim, it's mitzvah's asay. Oh, but maybe it has a din of an isser asay, so it has a din of Isurim, says Rav Shurmach. It's not an isser. If it was an isser, we would never be able to say osik mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. We don't say osik mitzvah patam in a mitzvah on los asays. We treat it like a mitzvah. There shouldn't be any los achilim on something that's a mitzvah asay. It's a kasha on the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah. So two kashas on the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah. One from the Magen Avraham, and one just from the general rule, the general parameters of Los Achilim. And just to strengthen this second kasha, Rav Vad Yosef in Yabia Omer, Chilek Aleph, Yordei Yosef and Dalet Os Dalet explains, there is a machlokes rishonim, whether you're allowed to feed a child in Issur Drabanan. Chicken and cheese. Issur Drabanan. Can I feed that to a child? Is that an Issur of Los Achilim? So says Rav Vadia, you know what the lamdus behind the machlokas is? The Issur of Los Achilim is only to give a child a cheftza shel Issur. It's exactly Gary's lamdus from before. It's to give a child a cheftza shel Issur. It's not to give a child something that's he's not allowed to have, that you're not allowed to have. It has to be a chetz. It has to be an isra on the chetz, not an isra on the gavra. Avadia quotes the famous Nesivus from Reish Lamed Aleph that we've quoted many times. Every time the Torah makes an isra d'oraisa, the Torah makes it an isra chetza. Only God has the right to say, this object is inherently bad. This object inherently has characteristics of Israel. You know why God's allowed to say that? Because he created it. He created the pig, and he could tell you, therefore, the pig inherently has characteristics of Israel. Some rabbi living now or 1,000 years ago could not come along and say, this has inherent characteristics of Israel. You didn't create it. You can't imbue something with inherent characteristics of Israel. What you could do, what the rabbis can do, is say, you, Jew, you're not allowed to eat that. That's you. It's not that. It's not the food. It's not the chefza. Every isser derabbanan is an isser on the gavra, on the person, not an isser on the chefza. So says Rav Avadia, the isser of los achileim, the definition of the isser is, don't feed a child a chefza shal isser. But whenever the isser is not an isser on the chefza itself, then there's no isser of los achileim. If that's the case, does it makes sense to say that there's an isser of los achilim when you're giving a child a kosher pastrami sandwich or any other kosher food outside the sukkah? You are giving him a chefza that's totally mutter. He just has to know how to eat it. But it's totally mutter. It's not a chefza shel isser at all. So, just to strengthen Rav Shurbach's kasha on Magen Avraham, how can you apply los achilim to giving a child to eat outside of the sukkah? Rav Sturmba, I mean, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he seems to assume eating outside the sukkah taki is an isser, not just a mitzvah to say, but Rav Avadia, based on the word from Rav Avadia, would still stand. Okay, so those are our kashas. I'll tell you just very briefly three approaches to dealing with this Magen Avraham. My favorite one is in a Maramakman that I think I forgot to include in your package. And that was from the Tshuvas Binyan Av. The Tshuvas Binyan Av was written by Rav Ben Tzion Abba Shaul. He writes that there's a big difference between an Isha who's not Mitzuvah in the Mitzvah of Sukkah and someone else who is Mitzuvah in the Mitzvah of Sukkah. The Isser being Machu B'Yadayim is only on someone who's Chayiv in the Mitzvah of Sukkah. An Isha is not Chayiv in the Mitzvah of Sukkah. She's allowed to be Machu L'Katan B'Yadayim. A guy is not allowed to be Machu L'Katan B'Yadayim. Says, where do I get this idea from? That someone who's not included in the mitzvah has no isra of giving that to a child? So if I'm a kohen, then I can give a zar child truma? That's not an isra of los achilim. Where do I get such a crazy idea from? Says, you know where I get it from? The vort we said before. Lifnei lositen michshal. There is a famous Emunah Shmuel that everyone quotes. I never heard of the Emunah Shmuel other than in this context. Lifnei lositen michshal. There is an Emunah Shmuel that says that I only violate Lifnei Iver if the Avera that I cause you to do is something that I'm not allowed to do also. But if I cause you to do an Avera that I am allowed to do, like I'm a Yisrael and I bring a Kohen into a cemetery, I don't violate Lifnei Iver. How does the Emunah Shmuel clearly understand the nature of Lifnei Iver? That I'm getting a chelek of your Iser. You can give me the chelek of the isra of being metame to a mace all the time. I have no isra being metame to the mace. I'm good. So he says that even if you don't hold that Emunah Shmuel by Lifnei Iver, by Los Achilim, you have to hold that way. That the isra of Los Achilim is only when you're included in the isra. So he says, if you look carefully at the Magen Avraham, when the Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to feed a katan outside of the sukkah, he was talking about a man feeding a katan outside of the sukkah. When he talks about yes, feeding a katan outside of a sukkah, that you are allowed to feed a katan outside of a sukkah, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, he's talking about a woman feeding a katan outside of a sukkah. That a woman is allowed to feed a katan outside of a sukkah. That's how the Tshuvas Binyan Av wants to be matayit. Again, we're short on time. There's a lot of good stuff there. Maybe we'll lead off Monday with some of the things that I didn't get a chance to say. Okay.